Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Father, this morning, we release our name. Every situation that is a warfare over our life, we release our name. As the church made prayers for Peter unceasingly, Lord, let's raise intercessors for my life. Raise prophetic watchmen for my life. Put the burden of my situation on the heart of men. Right now, Lord, this is my prayer request this morning. I don't know, but I have situations that I need people to help me pray through. Lord, let men pick up my prayer needs, my situation. That things that has held me back, things that are holding me, like they held Peter in prison. The Bible said, but the church made intercession non-stop for Peter. I release my name. Raise watchmen for me, Lord. Raise intercessors for me, Lord. Let them pick up my situation. Let them pick up my issue and pray on my behalf. Oh, today, Lord, burden men to intercede for me. Burden men to intercede for me. Raise the earners for me that will stand in the gap and pray for my prophetic destiny to be fulfilled. For my prophetic destiny to be fulfilled. Lay the burden of me on the heart of people. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's take our seat and give a clap offering unto the Lord. Time is fast spent. But I want us to quickly take the word of God. People will pick up your situation and pray for you. The most important thing why we have fellowship is that we can have brothers and sisters who intercede for us. The Bible said when they were threatened, they went back to their own company and they lifted up their voice with one heart. What is the use of a church if they don't have brothers and sisters who can stand in the gap with us and pray with us through our situation? If you are in a church and that you don't have people who can stand in the gap and pray with you, that is not a church. That is a football fan club. Are you with me? One of the benefits of having a spiritual home, a household, is that when there is a situation, that's why we don't call the church an organization. We call it a household in the New Testament. Do you know why we call the church a household? Because when you belong to a house, if anything happens to you in the house, all other people in the house become responsible for your situation. So if you are sick, everybody in the house will be responsible for your condition. True of us. So as we are here, if Sarah was not well today, I can bet that Francisca will not be in church. That would be the excuse. Oh, Pastor, Sarah is not feeling so well, so I've taken her to the hospital. But if Sarah was to be in school, the roommate would have gone to lectures. Doesn't care. It is not her obligation. But it is Francisca's obligation to take care of her sister. That is what the church is called, household. So it is my obligation that when you find yourself in trouble, I stand with you. Are we on the same page? That is why if you don't belong to a household, you are in trouble. And if you belong to a household that does not have this kind of understanding, you are also in trouble. That is why we made a declaration that the body of Christ, the household will pick. Because the dreams and the things you have, you can't handle it alone. They'll pick up issues about us. I pray for you. And I know you also pray for me. There are times I can call on some of the brothers that, oh, there's a situation we need to what? Pray about it. Why? Because they are in household. If anybody is sick in this church, it is our responsibility to stand in prayer with a person. That is why we visit people when they are sick to pray for them. Do you know why? It's our obligation. When they are in need, we support them. Because it's our obligation. When the devil draws the sword and comes after them, we ought. We go there to assist them because it is our obligation. If you have not yet planted yourself in this household, do so. Because this household, we love you and we see that whatever happens to you, we share part in it. Are we there? That's why we do follow up. I'm just trying to explain. The reason why we do follow up, calling to check up on you, is not because we want you to come to church. It is our due obligation to know that you are fine. So when they call you and there is a situation, I will hear it. Oh, pastor, this person, this is it. I know those who are writing IA today because they call them. And I know they are writing papers. I know those who are not around because they reach out to them. Are we on the same page? So we know that, okay, there is a situation like this. So we ought take up prayer. We post it or not, the watcher's page. We call on others to pray for you. This is what church must be, because it's a what? Household. Put that in your head. Are we there? Not taking much of our time. Let's take our anchor scriptures. We are still on possessive prayers, and we are looking at the second part of it. John chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. That is our first anchor scripture. So those of us who went for the crusade, you saw, you can see we came to church late. It's not our fault. We are tired. I went with Elder Blish, so he's a crusade director too. We did a very massive job. And if you follow the program, you could see that it was a very massive program at Amstead. Now, follow me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbed up some other way. Those of you have been jumping your school gates, your school wall. This scripture is for you. Do I have a witness here? Expose them. Own them up. You used to. Caesar, Bishop Emma, were you jumping school gates? So those of you who have been jumping your school gate, this scripture is for you. Let's read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbed up some other way, the same is a what? I didn't say it too. And a what? To reach school gate. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth. Do you hear the word? Porter. What? Openeth. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Second reading. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 10 to 13. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 10 to 13. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of the Lord. I said 1 Samuel chapter 10. I'm sorry. Let me get you the right scripture. I've been in a hurry, so forgive me. It's 1 Samuel. Check chapter 7. Chapter 7 verse 10 for me. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. Quickly. Have you found it? 1 Samuel 7 10. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, correct, the Philistines drew near unto the battle against Israel. But the Lord tended with a great tender, wow, on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Continue. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, according to the school you attended. When I say Mizpah, as you can see, you can pronounce it yourself. And you want me to pronounce it so that you laugh? I will not put you, I will not do that. It's Mizpah. And pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under what? Betka. Then someone took a stone and set it between Mizpah and what? Shen. And called the name of it Ebenezer. Saying, hitherto have the Lord helped us. The most important part is the verse 13. Take note. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. Hallelujah. Last reading. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9. And you know we're going to read it together, right? Let's go. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9. For, I want to hear you. Yes, let's go. Louder. And effectual is open unto me, and there are many. Again, let's take it. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many. Hallelujah. Because of time factor, I'm not going to do a recap, but If you want to really understand what I'm going to talk about today, I recommend you to listen to the podcast, Possessive Prayers, Part 1. Hopefully, it will be available tomorrow. It is not on it yet, but it will be available tomorrow. But quick one. We want to take it from where we were last week. We established that we are all possessive in nature because God created us what? To be possessive. Do you understand? And you remember I said this, that because of that, when we lost our spiritual dimension of possessive nature, we try to find means and means to restore it. So we found out that people drink because they want to control situations. Possessive means they're being in control, being in charge. So when a situation is happening in the life of somebody and the person cannot be able to handle the situation, and that because we are possessive in nature, that nothing should control us, but we should rather control things, we look for other means to do it, which is not the means of God. So when people take in drugs, they take in drugs not because of anything, but they want to have control over their situation. But we found out that no matter how you can become, you cannot become the most high. Hallelujah. So you can high as much as you want to high. You can drink as much as you drink. The situation remain not the same. So we found out that when Jesus came to die, he restored unto us what? That possessive nature that Adam had. And that possessive nature, it required of us that we take possession. How do we go by it? By reconciling and then what? Taking back what belongs to us, which God has what? Given us. And I told you that possessive prayers are in four categories. Is that not it? Today we look at two. Then next week we finish with the rest. Number one, the first category is possessing the gate of destiny. Or your destiny, number one. Number two, laying claims to God's provision. Number three, placing demand on the fulfillment of prophetic works concerning your life. And number four, enforcing kingdom decrees. Anytime you enter into this kind of strategic prayers, you are being what? Possessive. And we have what it takes to what? To be possessive. Are we there? So building up from prosecution prayers, I told that issuing decrees is as a result of these things. So the issuing decrees component that I gave you, forbid, retain, everything, all reflect in possessive nature of us. Are we there? So can we move on today? So now let's start with possessing the gates of what? Destiny. I'm going to teach on destiny not very long, and we will go so detailed on the issue of what? Destiny. But let's look at the possessing of what? The gates of our destiny. Number one, possessing gates simply means having the authority to permit and forbid. Simple. Having the authority to what? Permit and forbid, because gates are legal point of access to enter or exit. Gates, they are legal point of what? Access to enter or exit. So if anybody wants to have access to this place, the person can only come through which what? This gate. So in our first reading, John chapter 10, we found out that whoever does not use the gate, either the person is considered as a what? A robber, a thief. But the one who uses the gate, a porter is what? Open unto the person. So it means that anything that is within, beyond the gate, you can be able to what? Have it legally if you are able to use the what? Main entrance. Are we on the same side? So when we said you are possessing the gate, what it means is that you are taking charge of whatever comes in and whatever out goes out. That's why ushers in church are very powerful people. Do you know that? They can decide who comes to enter the church auditorium and who does not enter. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we on the same page? Okay, let's move on. Mostly, we are aware of physical gates. We know of physical gates and other stuff. However, for every physical gate is a corresponding spiritual gate that influences the activities of the physical gate. Follow me. So, we are going to look at some forms of gates. Are we there? For every physical gate, there is a corresponding spiritual gate. Hence, physical gates that we know, such as locations, time, family, institutions, they are gates. I'll explain them. They are point of entry and exit. I say gate means what? Point of what? Entry and what? Exit. So locations that are point of entry and exit. Family, time, point of entry and what? Exit.
they have their corresponding out, spiritual out gate as well. Are we all there? Therefore, it is our duty to permit. Listen to me very well. It is our duty to permit or forbid what comes through the gates of these various things that I've mentioned, because they ought affect our life. Do you get it? So if you are staying in, let's say, East Legon, there is a way to enter East Legon and there is a way to what? Exit East Legon. Spiritually, there could be what? An entry and exit of that place. Since you are there and you are possessive in nature, it is your duty to be able to what? Permit and what? Forbid as what? A resident of that place what enters and what leaves that place. Are we there? Are we there? So let's move on. Example. Let's start with physical location. What are some of the examples in scriptures? Because of time, I'll just deal with one. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 28, verse 11. Or you give me verse 17. In Genesis chapter 28, you find out that the young man Jacob was running away from his brother to his uncle Laban. On his way, he got to a place that sun set on him and was tired. So Jacob decided to lay at that place and rest. The Bible said he took a stone and used it as a pillow to rest on. And when he slept, I'm paraphrasing the scripture, because I read only the verse 17. He had a dream and he saw angels ascending and descending. Listen to what he said in verse 17. And he was afraid and he said, "How dreadful is this place? It is none other but the house of what? God. El Bethel. And this is the gates of what? Heaven." So the young man, although sleeping at a physical place, as at that spot, it was what? He was sleeping at the portal of heaven. So he could have... How many people slept there and didn't know that was the gate of heaven? How many people passed there and didn't know it was the gate of heaven? But somebody had the privilege to see it. And it was that place that God entered into covenant with him. So there are physical locations that are gates. Point of what? Entry and what? Exit. So heaven was actually having an access to earth through a physical location. So there can be a demonic what? Location. Why do you fear Nongokbo? Why do you fear Nongokbo? You fear my hometown. Anyway, a part of me comes from there. But if I take you there right now, you have some fears. Why? Because you have been oriented that that place can be a gate. If we take you to the town Antwa, if I say I'm going to Antwa right now, what comes into your mind? You see, when somebody says he's going to Dahomey, do you know Dahomey? It is in Benin. Have you heard of it before? What comes into your mind? Because we know those places are spiritual portals. When you enter a shrine, a physical shrine, you believe that that physical place you have come to, although it's a stone and everything there, you believe that there is a way to what? Contact what? So physical locations has corresponding what? Spiritual locations. So it is on us to know how the place is to what? To permit and what? Forbid. So if you are in a place and that atmosphere or that location is a it's a gate to certain demonic things and you don't forbid it. If you stay at a place like Pent Hall as a Lagos student and you said you are not going to forbid, certain things will invade your life. Certain things will come because they have legal access there. Do you understand? So we stand there and we forbid. And then we open the windows of heaven. Are we all there? So that's a typical example of what? A physical what? Location. Number two, I mentioned three things, okay? Let's go to the second one. Number two, with regards to time. Time has gates. And when we talk about time, by definition, we know that time is what? We normally say that time is what? Past, present, and what? Future. But however, time as past, present, and future is measured in various forms, such as what? Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks,
months, seasons, and various of, and many of them. But we know that among them, things like days, weeks, and months have entry and exit, right? So as we are here, we know that the day starts at 12 a.m. Is that not it? And closes at what? 11 what? 59 p.m. We know that a week starts on what? Sunday. And closes on what? Saturday. We know that a month begins at this time and ends at what? This time. Anything that has a starting point and an ending point always has an entry and what? An exit. Therefore, if you don't take hold of the gate of time, you can be disposed of what belongs to you at a particular time. Job chapter 38 verse 12. Look at something here. I'm going to show you how it affects you. Are we following? So we are looking at what? Possessing the gates of what? Destiny. As I'll teach about destiny, so I don't talk much about it, but yes, this is prayer aspect. So listen to what God was asking you. What did he say? Has thou commanded the what? The morning since thy what? Days. So from the day you were born or you grown up, have you learned to command the what? The morning. So you see that even the morning has an entry and what? And cause the day spring to know his place. Are we there? Verse, next verse. That it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be what? Shaken out of it. God was asking you, have you done that? Some of you are going to write exams. Let me get there. Let me go there. The reason why God was asking Job whether or not he has possessed the day, commanded the day, has put the day in alignment is because every day has its sufficient evil. I've spoken about this before, right? Are we there? Every day has its sufficient evil and has its sufficient blessing. Now let's look at the evil aspect. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. If you don't possess the gate of time, it will affect you. Every day has its, are you following me? Every day has its what? Sufficient evil. Matthew chapter 6. Are we, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Last part, what did he say? Sufficient unto the day is the evil. So the Bible is saying that for every 24 hours there is enough evil. In Psalm 91, let's go to Psalm 91. Give me the verse 3. Let's see how the sufficiency of evil is broken into components. Psalm 91. Let's watch. Let's go. Let's start from verse 2. Let me see from verse 2. Okay, verse 3, actually. Yes, from verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of what? The fowler, and from the noisome what? Pestilence. Continue. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and that under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Continue. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by what? So what is sufficient at night is what? Terror. Are you there? Nor for the arrow that flyeth by day. So in the day, morning, what is sufficient is what? Demonic arrows. Sufficient is evil for every day. Who be touched, you don't possess the day. That is why if you woke up in the morning and you don't pray and declare into the day, you will see what the devil will do to you. Let's go. Now for the pestilence that walketh in what? Darkness, that is midnight. Now for the distraction that waste. So you can see that for every time of the day, there is sufficient evil. What be touched, you don't forbid it. I told her, what is the meaning of gate? To what? Possess means what? To forbid or to what? Permit. Do you know silence means consent? Do you know silence means consent? So if you don't speak, means you have agreed. So sufficiency is, so we have to take possession of time. In Lamentation chapter 3, let's see blessing. There's an aspect of blessing. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. Let's go. They are what? New every every morning. Great is what?
Thy faithfulness.
Every morning, they are renewed. So if you don't go to God this morning, it means that you didn't subscribe to the open heavens for the day. So when we pray and we say that we take charge of the day, we overturn every we shut every demonic door, and we open up the door of heaven over ourselves, it means that we are renewing the day's blessing of our life. And we make that every sufficient evil. That is why that day when you were traveling and you prayed, there was an accident that almost took your life. And you don't know how you escaped. Do you know why? Because you have already what? Shut that door. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? So, it is very dangerous that especially certain sensitive things of a day, you don't pray to them. Number one, exam period. Never wake up to go for an exam, an interview, a program, even your wedding day, your engagement day, it is not, don't take it lightly. Because you can grant access and forbid. Are you on the same page? Are you on the same page? The reason why you sat behind that paper and you got confused, the question is, when you were going to write, did you take hold of the day? Because sufficiency is evil for each day. Are we on the same page? So, the taking hold of our destiny, our life, is to means that we are making sure what enters our life and what exits our life. So, when I woke up in the morning, it is on me to decide whether or not I will allow evil into my heart or into my life, or I will allow the blessings of God into my life. Which one are you choosing? We are still talking about possessive prayers. The reason why many believers, see, this is not on God, it is on you. He has given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. Are we on the same page? So when these things happen, it is on you. You don't blame God for this. You shall declare a thing and it shall what? Come to pass. So when they tell you, pray in the morning, when you woke up, commit the day into the hands of the Lord, you think you are doing, pastor? It's not me. You are putting yourself at risk. Are we on the same page? So I said there are certain things that are hot. Gates. I've mentioned what? Physical location. I've mentioned what? Time. Let's look at the third one. Family, institution, or nations are also gates. Now follow me here. So we are still dealing with possessive prayer. I said the first thing we have to learn to pray as possessive prayer is what? Taking charge of what? Our destiny. Possessing the gate of our destiny. And destiny means the things, the purposes and plans for God for our life. Are we there? The purposes and plans of God for our life is what is called destiny. And these things, physical location, time, family, institution we belong to can affect it. So we have to take possession of it. If you don't possess it, you'll be in trouble. Do you know that in certain time factors, so I want to just, you know, there are certain places that you go as a student, okay? There are certain class lecture you enter, and the lecturer has already declared that nobody will pass in this class. He comes out of there, can even tell you at your face, in my class, it was common in UCC, where I came from. I remember at least one lecturer said that to us, that in his class, the best student gets B+, and it should be only one person. Those who really study hard will get B. The rest of you get C. Nobody gets below C. We thought it was a joke. So imagine you enter a place like that and you don't take, that is your destiny at the hand of somebody trying to. But we are possessive in nature. We are not born to be controlled. We are born to control. Oh. we are born to be kings. That is why it is, that was, he has made us kings. Either unto the glory of the Father. We are kings. So we are born to control, not to be controlled. So when you enter places like that, hey, take charge. You come there. Families. The first thing I want to let you know is that God has plans for collective people, institutions, or a nation. So if you look in the Bible, you find that God had plans for the people of Israel. What was his plan? That will possess the land of Canaan. It was not a single person. It was an entire nation. If you look at the blessing of Jacob for his children, it was not for Reuben. It was for a whole tribe. So the tribe of Judah was blessed to raise what? Kings. Are you following me? So there's a collective blessing, purpose of God for a group of people. And that group of people can be what? A family. It can be what? An institution. It can be what? A nation. Don't forget, the devil also have plans. Eh? The devil also have what? Plans. That is why you can hear statements like, as for we. Continue. What are some of the statements? If you had the. Yes, can you continue? If you had the. Kweku so so hu na if you had the name say. Yenibi. So they confess their plans of the devil. God also has plans for me. Are you with me? Good. Now, when you become part of those family institutions, one thing I want you to understand is that for any plans of God or the devil to have expression in an institution or a family or any place, it needs a human heart. Man must serve as a point of what? Contact. That cannot permit it or what? Forbid it. Let's read the book of Exodus chapter 32 verse 9. Let's watch how this is very practical. So if there is a purpose of God, there is a counsel of God concerning a family, a nation, a place, it can never materialize until there is a human point of what? Contact. And that human being will become a point of what? Entry or exit. Are we all there? Are you following me? So as we are here, somebody who is related to you can open certain things upon your life without your permission. You don't know. Why is it that somebody can commit something in a family, that person will be cursed and that person will not die. The family members will start dying. Have you heard of those stories before? In my place that we come from, if they bring you, do you know what they do? To hang a banana. These are stories. These are true stories. My father told me. It happened in our own family that one of my grandmothers was used as a payment price. Was dedicated to the God, so she never married. She served the God till the day he died, because a family member, my great grandfather, one of them, killed somebody's pregnant wife, and the person took her stone and idol, and they hanged a palm fruit. When one drops, I hope you understand where it goes. Now let's see the plans of God for Israel and how a man shut that door. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Continue. Now therefore, let me out alone. Can you see it? God is asking for what? That my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. God came and said, Moses, these people, no matter what I do not listen to me. Please, you are their leader. Are you listening to me? You are the one who is the human representation authority. I need somebody to what? Agree with me, consent with me, then allow me to deal with them. Let's continue. And Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why thy wrath wax hot against thy people? So God said, Moses, your people. Moses said, God, your people. That guy is a very smart guy. Which thou hast brought. Now, you see, Moses was not saying that I was not the one who brought them. You brought them. Thou hast brought them out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Let's continue. Wherefore shall the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath. You see, Moses forbid God. What did he say? Turn. That was forbidding God not to do what he wants to do. And repent of this evil. For the first time, a man was telling God, against thy people. Verse 13.
Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servant, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Verse 14. And what happened? Let's read. All of you, eh? Louder again. So imagine Moses allowed it. So there are purposes of God, and there are purposes of the devil, plans. But before they get access and be implemented, there are human beings who must serve as what? A gate. So human beings are doors. They can permit you or what? That's when you're going to look for a job. Your employment is on a man. He can permit you that job or forbid you the job. Even though he's not a company, but he can look at your face, I don't like you. That's all. That's why we rejected the American visa. It's America for the person. The consulate is America for him. But you see that was your door to America. A human being sitting there, that was your door to America. He looked at you and said, I don't like your face. And that was all for you. So access to institution, access to a whole country as a Ghanaian is dependent on just one single person sitting there. You can be whoever you are. That single person can look at you and say, you, I don't like you. He doesn't need any reason. He can say, I remember the story that the Joe shared. That he went with four friends of his, I think 2003, Prophet Jericho, remember? And they gave all of them the visa. And the consular looked at him and said, Joe, I'm not convinced to give you this visa. Your document is there, but I'm not convinced. Come back and come out convinced. And that was the end. The document and everything was right, but he looked at him and said, Joe, I'm not convinced. Human being could shut a whole country door to you. So institutions, families, and places like this, they can affect you. We must understand this. Why am I saying this? Follow me. Therefore, for anything to happen in a place, institutional, human beings are entrance. This is why we should have interest in leadership as Christians. When God gives you an opportunity as a Christian in an institution to become a leader, to climb up, understand this very well, that God is looking for somebody who can be a gate for him to invade the place. This is where many Christians have failed. They become leaders in institutions, corporate bodies, and they forget that they are gates. Yes. Many of us, that's what we have become. We forget that we are gates and that God placed us out there so that there can be a forbidding and not a permission. So a Christian politician can be there and God is counting on that person to forbid certain policies, but he will forget that he's a gate. And the devil also has his people there who are opening their out, permitting demonic access. If you are here and you have a heart to be a leader in corporate institution, or belong to a corporate institution, or you are asked, you are here, you are a teacher, you are whatever, and you are responsible for some people, know that God placed you there to permit and forbid. Imagine Moses was quiet, the entire Israel would have been wiped out. Entire Israel. There are certain things we are suffering now in this country. It's because some Christians didn't stand for us. No, you see, let me be right. Let me be specific with you. No matter how powerful and anointed I am, when a member of parliament stands to pray, the impact of that prayer will be stronger than my own. Do you know why? Authority. Do I have any authority as a representative of any constituents in Ghana here? Do I? Esther chapter 4, verse 14, watch something. Esther chapter 4, verse 4. Are you following me? Are we on the same page? Possessing not the gates of destiny. The gate of destiny, it can be a family, it can be an institution. So now, as I'm talking to you right now, how well have you possessed the gate of Ghana, Ghana's destiny? You and I, let's be realistic. Can you see where our country is heading? That's why I said that when the country is filled, let's put it on the heads of Christians. Because we have enough Christians in parliament, in corporate institutions, if they should stand up for their responsibility as gates that permit. I can say this to the glory of God, that Prophet Jericho did something that I was very, very happy about. He went to the law school, and in no time, Christian fellowship was very active. He became a leader, and he started permitting certain things and forbidding certain things. I hope they are still on the Christian fellowship. How many Christians were there and didn't see the need to do that? Even men of God. Listen to what Mordecai said to Esther. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace, this is the typical picture of Ghanaian Christians, at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jewish from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. So those Christians, go and tell them, if you know them, who are in leadership position and they have held their peace, they should know that no matter how God will deliver Ghana, but they and their family will pay the price. Mordecai was telling her own niece that if you don't speak for Israel, don't worry, God will surely deliver us. But you and your father's house, you perish. Then he continued. And who knoweth whether thou art come to this kingdom for such a time as this? Whenever God placed you in, so when you went to the university, do you know that God sent you to that school at that time because of a reason? How many of us have been a point of contact for heaven to invade a place and forbid the devil? You were told that you went there to learn, but you don't know that God sent you there. So we need to learn to possess the gates of institutions, gates of families. As a big brother, you can open, you can forbid and permit things that can happen to your younger siblings. Can see the place is quiet now. Yes. Because I know it is entering you. Have you seen how much we have caused damage to people's destinies? I want to wrap up with this place, so I move to the second one. So you find out one of the scripture that strikes me in the book of Samuel was this place. The Bible said, let's go back to the second reading. Give me the verse 13. Watch. Christians, we must understand that we are possessive in nature. And it should not be for only our interest. Don't be interested in possessing time, location. No, you should know that you are also a gate. You can be a gate, especially when you're in authority. So when you're standing for election, do you know why you should? That's why we want Christians to be SRC president, should be MPs, president and everything. Do you know why? Because they can permit and forbid. Verse 7, chapter 7, verse 30, watch. So the Philistines were hot, subdued. That's not the part I'm interested. And they came no more. Can you hear that? Into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against them. The Philistines. What? The last part. All the days of what? Samuel. Why? When Samuel was alive, the Philistines never dared to invade Israel. The day he died, they killed Saul. The very day Samuel died, Goliath what? Rose up. One man kept them up. It was not because Israel had an army. There was a giant. A spiritual giant. There was a spiritual what? I pray for you that you become that giant for your family. I pray for you that you become that giant in that institution. That it will be said that as long as this person was here, this thing never happened. And that is one of the things I said to myself, that I can never be in a location and the devil will invade that place. I will not allow it. I can't pastor a church and the devil will infest them. No. Then that devil will face me. The Bible said as long as Samuel was alive, the coast of Israel was never invaded. The moment someone died, a giant rose up. reason why we have a lot of loud mouths against the church is because there are no sermons anymore. Go back to your family and be the Samuel unto them. You see, because of you, nobody will fall sick. See, that nonsense thing called sickness should die in your family. When I'm married into my wife's family, Pastor Colin said something to me. He said, you are a lion. And God has sent you a lion to roar in that family. I thought it was a joke. But on the moment that day one we got married, hell broke loose. I said, okay. In front of me, they wanted to take my father-in-law away. I said, here, that man, it is not his time. It is not his time. He cannot die. My wife is here, and she can attest to it. Even she and the mother didn't know that at that instant when I told them to leave the room, my father-in-law was gone. He was dead. I sat on the floor then I started praying. I said, I forbid you, spirit of death, to take him. According to scriptures, a man's life shall be 70. And if by strength, what? 80. This man is not 70 years. He's not going anywhere. And according to scriptures, a man shall see his children's children. He has not seen his children's children. He's going nowhere. After 30 minutes, he breathed in a deep breath. He himself came to testify that he got to a place and a man was in white. And the man asked him, where was he going? He said, he should return. What did he do? The man returned him. Imagine there was no Samuel. This one sitting here, they didn't want her to go to school. I said, in front of me. I told her, I don't teach anybody to fail in exam. I'll teach you, pass maths. Even if you don't know math, your head is dead. Me, are you? You see, be angry. I don't like bullies. And that's the typical nature of Samuel. When the Philistines were bullying the people of Israel, he rose up. He didn't fight some of the battle. But he anointed the stone and put it between Israel and not the Philistines. And they called the place Ebenezer. How far the Lord has thought, you can't take us back. And the Bible says, since that day, till the day Samuel died, Philistines never there. I said, I pray that God will make you such a person unto your family. Some of you, your company cannot sack you, not because you are good, though, because the day they sack you, that company is going with you. That's what you become. The owner of that business, the owner of that institution should know that as long as you are there, he's safe. The day they'll lay you off, see, they can sack anybody, you, if they try it, that is the... See, our value is not in our mind intelligence. It is in the anointing that we carry. As a Christian, you should be employed not because of only your certificate, because of your influence. So, in as much as they can sack anybody, they say, hey, as for this one, that is when you want to retire, they'll beg you, they'll give you any other thing to keep you. I pray for you. See, that is what I want you to desire, that when I enter a place, I will possess the place. Christians go to places and then they'll hide themselves. They don't want to be known. I don't say you go and shout, but if I'm working for you, you the owner of the company, I will do unto you what Joseph did unto what Pharaoh. He said, only in the throne am I greater than you. Only in the name of position you will be greater than me in that company. But I will control that company. I'll possess it, own it, spiritually dominate it. If you try me, you are out. I taught in a Muslim school. An owner owned a Muslim school. I taught in that school. And we started worship. The first time, he permitted that BEC students should be prayed for. And I anoint them and pray for them. A Muslim. A student was sick. They called me to go and pray. You think I went there with my guru eyes like that? How can you enter a strong man now? You are here. And you are just... We must possess the gate of institutions. I see God raising bank managers here. I see politicians rising to the top there. You see, when we say we see these things and we are praying them for you, it's not because we want you to go and make money. We want you to possess the place. That I can sit here comfortably and know that as long as you are there, no demon can invade that place. Imagine Prophet Jericho is the chief justice. He's a lawyer and a prophet. Imagine he's the chief justice or attorney general. I said, there are certain evidence. You ask him, how did you know this? How did you have this evidence? Then, God. Did you get it? How did you get this one? Because they know that they have sealed it. But they don't know that there's a Daniel over there who can ask God what Nebuchadnezzar dreamt and he'll get it. Do you think we have anything to worry about justice? Do you think we have anything to worry when we know that such a person is the chief justice or attorney general? No, we don't have anything to worry. So the Bible says, when the righteous rule, go and possess the destiny of institutions. Oh, are you ready to possess them? So stop looking for a job because you want money. Look for a job because you want to own them. Nobody can sack you. You are the owner of that place. Possess it. How do you possess it? You forbid what enters and exits. Permit it. Hallelujah. So, the first kind of prayer we must learn to pray in possessive prayer is the prayer to possess the gates of destinies. Forbidding and permitting. Anytime you rise up to pray, learn to possess the gates. Second, what's the time? Quickly, let me rush through this one. Laying claims to God's provision is the second kind of what? Prayer we pray in possessive prayers. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed? Or you don't like the message today? Laying claims to the God's provisions. Laying claims to God's provision is the second kind of possessive prayers we pray. What is a provision? The word provision is simply defined as means, an item of goods or supplies are obtained for the future. So when an item or goods are obtained for future use, we call it what? Provision. So what is God's provision? God's provision are items, being physical or immaterial, opportunities, people, goods, etc., God gives us for future use. And we have to what? Lay claims on them. As you are here, God has catered for your future. God has catered for your tomorrow. Can I prove it to you? It is, you see, the characteristics of God as a father put on him the demands that he should make provisions for us. That's why we call him what? Father. The character of God as a father, the nature of God as a father, puts that obligation on him to what? Because fathers what? Provide. So there is not any being on this earth or a believer on this earth that does not have a provision for them. The issue is that you have not learned to God lay hold on what? Your provision. It is not God. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he said, he has given us all things pertaining to what? Life and godliness. And we have a lot of examples in scriptures. One is in the book of Genesis chapter 22, verse 13 to 14. We are not going to read it. But that is where the name Jehovah Jireh, Lord our provider, came from. When God made a provision for Abraham that a ram should replace what? Isaac. Abraham called him what? Jehovah what? Jireh. A lot of examples in scriptures. God provided for the people of Israel in the desert food, water, protection. The Bible said in the night he was a pillar of what? Fire. In the day he was what? A pillar of what? Cloud. And I explained that thing to you, that because the desert is hot, very hot, during the day, God releases the pillar of clouds, what? To cover them against what? The heat of the sun. And in the night, because it is very cold, and there are wild animals on the desert, God releases a pillar of what? Fire. To warm the weather for them, and to deter the animals. So when you say God is a pillar of cloud and fire unto you, it means these two things. It is his obligation as a father to what? To provide. And we saw the same thing as the character of God in person, Jesus, doing the same thing. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 16 to 20, we saw that Jesus providing for those on the desert who came to him and listened to him. He said, let them sit. How many bread? He said, five and two. Look, he blessed it. He fed them. Why? It is in the character of God to what? Provide. Are you following me? So as you are here, you have to lay claim. See, God has already made provisions for you. Are you all there? What you eat today, what you drink today, where you sleep today, whatever that is needed for your tomorrow and today, provisions have been made. This is so important that Jesus told us specifically. Matthew chapter 6 verse 20. Let's go there. He told us that we should never be concerned of our needs. Why?
Because it is God's obligation to do what? To provide. Any believer who does not have this understanding will be in trouble. The problem is, I'm going to show you why the Bible says we are doing strategic prayers. We lay claims to provisions. Because God has already provided. Can you see the bold statement Jesus made over here? That's the 28. Matthew chapter 6 verse 28. This is what he said. And why take ye thought for what? Raiment. Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not. Neither do they what? Spin. Continue. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Continue. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much clothe you, O ye of what? Little faith. Continue. The character of God to provide. Therefore, can we read it together? Take no thought. Don't think. Take no thought. Saying, how shall we what? What shall we what? Drink. Or wherewithal shall we be what? Clothed. What did he say? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that he have need of what? These things. Did you hear that? Are you with me? Are you with me? So it is never wrong for you to ask God to give you food for today. In fact, he has to provide it. In fact, it is what? Provided. Are you on the same page? Can we move on? However, God's provisions for anybody is connected to a physical or a geographical location. So you find that in the character of Elijah, when there was a famine, God told him that he should go and sit at the brook. And after 2 years, when the brook dried up, he said that, leave and go to this place for a widow, what? So God's provision for everybody is connected to what? A geographical what? Location. So if God said you will prosper in Ghana here, you can be even the aide of Joe Biden, you'll still be poor. Are you following me? So God's provision is connected to physical or that is how God is. So the provision has been made, but it is up to you to locate where your provision has been what? Been placed. So for all you know, God deposited your money in Cow Bank, but you are at work, GCB, looking for your money to withdraw. How can that work? Are we on the same page? Do you really get what I'm saying? So God connect our provisions to locations. Therefore, a geographical location can hinder our access to God's provision for us, because demonic spirits or a demonic spirit can be in control of a place, or an evil atmosphere can be in control of a place. That was what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 9. Can we read? Are you following me now? God in his character has provided for us. That provision is connected to a location. But we can have issues in accessing it if that location is under demonic control or there's an evil atmosphere over that place. So listen to what Paul said. For a great door, can you hear it? And effectual is what? Open unto me. But there are many odds. So you can see that somebody has gotten a job and instantly there are issues. Let me tell you, the moment you notice that an opportunity has opened unto you and there are issues surrounding it, this scripture is speaking to you. There's what? An adversary. So laying claims to our provision is to deal with the adversaries that have the authority or the legal right to frustrate us getting our provisions. And these adversaries can have access by what? Being control of a geographical area, or there is an evil atmosphere over that place. It's possible.
So I'm going to show you. Time. So now let's tackle one, because of time, but I'm going to deal with one. Then we'll close. So now let's look at demonic spirit at a geographical location. Let's deal with that one. Are you on the same page now? Do you really understand it? It's a teaching class, so I want you to follow me very well. And I want you to go back and listen to this message well, because these things are going to help you forever. God is never owing anybody here. As we sit here, none of us, God does not owe us. He has given us everything. If you cannot access it, it is possible that the door has been opened. There are what? Adversaries. So you're going to learn to deal with the adversaries. Now, let's start. The first thing I want you to know is that when it comes to locations and geographical places, the act, even though it's physical, but has a spiritual influence. Now, here is the issue. Even though the earth is physical, the earth is not separated from what? Spiritual influence. If you read the book of Genesis chapter 2, I think the verse 4, the Bible said, so are the heavens and the earth made. They are not separated. The heavens he was talking about was both spiritual, or the spiritual dimension of things. These are the generations of the heavens and of what? The earth. When they were made, when they were created, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the earth. So you see, he said the heavens and the earth first. Now he said, so the spirit influences the earth. Now one thing I want you to understand is that the earth is a neutral spiritual environment. It's a neutral spiritual environment such that it is only man who has authority to decide which spiritual settings can govern a particular spot at a particular time. And I'm going to show it to you. The earth is a neutral spiritual environment. It does not belong to God, in quotes. It does not belong to the devil, in quotes. It is man who decides which of these two parties can have influence over what, a place. Now let me show something in the book of Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. Read it. So the man is the only being that has the authority to decide which spiritual environment can exist in a particular spot. Man. Joshua 24 verse 15. Watch. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye would serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of what, the flood, or the gods of the what, Amorites, in whose land ye what dwell. But what do you say? But as for me and my house, we what? Now, explaining this scripture to my point, what I mean is that the spiritual setting of a physical location, geographical location, is based on the spirit to whom the man who owns the place submits to. Do you really get it? Now, we are given options to what? Choose. Do I give options to what? So, if I am an idol. See, this is where, sisters, when I'm going to marry, be very careful. Or whoever, be very careful. Because the spiritual setting that the person submits to has legal right. Are we all there? So if you choose to serve the Lord, it means that the Lord shall have what? Authority over what? That setting. If you choose to serve other idols, they will have what? Authority over that place. Remember, we are talking about your provisions. Are we there? Let's move on. Hence, if a man submits to God, angels are assigned to govern that territory. Are we there? If a man submits to God, angels are assigned to govern that place. But if a man submits to a spirit, demonic spirit, the demons also what? Takes control over that place. Choose whom you serve. Hence, if you find yourself in a geographical location that is under the authority of demonic spirits, you have to reclaim that spot and submit it under God before you can access God's provision for your life. So you can be very, very blessed. But if you find yourself in a demonic place, a place infested by demons, I tell you, you will never rise. Are you on the same page? Are you on the same page? Do you really understand? So you understand why God told the Israelites to kill and destroy all the Canaanites? Are you following now? It was because, as at that time, they didn't even have the right to deal with what? Demonic spirits, spiritually, to cast them out. So any human system that gives them permission, we clear it off. That is why in the olden days, they said, suffer not a witch to what? To live. Because you can't cast it out. So now, how do demons get control over geographical locations? Quick. Number one, through idol worship and abominable practices. I'll give you scriptures. I'll not read them. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 12. Psalms 104 verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 12. When there's an idol worship and abominable practice in a location, let me tell you, that place is demonically what? Infested. And if you're a child of God and you enter there, your access, if God has given that place to you and you don't deal with it, your provisions will be locked. Number two, sexual perversion and murder. When there's sexual perversion, strange flesh, gay, lesbianism, bestiality, mother sleeping with child, you know, that is sexual perversion. There's sexual immorality and there's sexual perversion. Perverse. The unnatural way of what? Examining or having sexual expression. Are we on the same page? If there's such a thing there, or murder, that place is demonically what? Infested. Leviticus chapter 18 verse 25. Genesis chapter 40 verse 10. Are we on the same page? We are still talking about laying claims towards your divine provision. Don't go and blame God that, see, if you are broke, find out whether you are laying claims. If opportunities are not open unto you, find out. Because it could be that there is a demon who having authority over that place who is God resisting you. Number three. Through cursed words released by an authority figure. When an authority figure releases a cursed word over a place, demons take it. Joshua chapter 6 verse 12, he released a word. Whoever builds the wall of Jericho builds it with his first son, and whoever builds the gate will lay it with his last one. It happened in the book of Kings. 1 Kings 16 verse 34. It happened. Are we there? So these are ways by which an area can be demonically what? Infested. So when you enter a place and you hear the history of that place, that there have been this, that, and that, and that, and that, are you listening to me? Please know that at that instant you have an adversary to deal with. So if your family is an idol worship like my own, virtual doors will be opened, many adversaries. That's why you have to pray possessive prayers and take hold of that place from their hands. So what are the character of demonically infested location? Character number one, reoccurring accidents. Do you know there are some spots in this country? Is it Via Quanta? What do they call that place? It's one of the notable accident location. Do you know that? On this Cape Coast Road, between Winneba and Apam Junction, it's a killer zone. You don't know? So when you go to a geographical located place and there are wild accidents, bushfire, collapse of buildings, like recurring almost all the time, there's flood when it rains. Typical example, cycle. Don't take it as a natural thing. It is reoccurring. It becomes the norm. It is giving you a signal that there is what? Demonic infestation over there. Number two, no fruitfulness. Nobody prospers in that town. Especially those who stay at the coastal areas. High school at the coastal area, nothing works there. Church does not grow. No business grows over there. There is an abject poverty. Do I have anybody who lives at the coastal area? I've been to the coastal area before. Been there before. true of us? You said, I'm lying, going to examine it and see it. One of the places of abject poverty are coastal areas. Let me be realistic with you. Do you know why the northern sector of Ghana here looks like there's an abject poverty? Idol worship. Voter region, idol worship. Why is Ashanti always prospering? They broke that thing from the Ashanti quickly. Christianity invaded Ashanti faster in the Eastern faster than any other region. But you go to my area there, up to now, if you go there, you see what we call real poverty. But that's not God's will for that family or destiny or that place. So if God transfers you, for example, you are here, eh? And you have gotten a transfer as a worker to somewhere in Volta region, some place over there, and you go there and you think that you'll get your thing, you don't go and possess the place. It'll show you, you'll show shake it. Then you know that yes, there's power. They will tell you that they are here some. So you find some nurses, doctors, government officials, they are transferred to zones and they go there and they keep quiet. My brother, you have to possess the place. When you go there, when you see the people over there, they should tell you the things you should start, adversaries you should be preparing for. No fruitfulness. Number 3, a place of nightmares and horrible dreams. You can go to a place when you sleep, diabolical, especially when you come to the university. There are some hostels when you sleep there, you will never have good sleep. I have to deal with one concerning these people. Are you not able to sleep now? Be in a room for over a whole semester and you can't sleep. Your own room that you have paid with your own money. And the spirit was dwelling there, frustrating them. And I went there and said, they have receipts. Where is your receipt? Come on out. For 2 weeks now, they sleep and they sleep well. None of their roommates has complained again. It was a constant thing every week. Somebody has to have a nightmare. Strange dreams. Strange encounter. Now you understand. I went and said, hey. Were you the one who paid the hostel fee or the demon paid the hostel fee? How can I pay my hostel fee and then you go, some of you go and rent a place, then get to the place and cannot sleep there. You pay, right owner, kick that demon out. I can't pay for a place, a hotel, an accommodation. You bought a car and that can always involve an accident. You are quiet. You are quiet. It is a sign that there's a demonic God infestation over there. Nightmares, horrible dreams. Have you ever experienced that before? Eh? The moment you go to a place that's seen those things continuously, it's not that the atmosphere is polluted. You have to deal with it. Next one. Heavy, choking, demonic presence. Some of them, they call it mununkum. You can be a place, you wake up in the morning, and cobwebs all over your face. Anybody has experienced that here before? Not once, not twice. Oh, let me see my hands. It's a sign. I'm showing you things that you should go. That why you should. When you start seeing this thing, you have to start praying possessive words. You wake up and it seems like the whole world burden has been placed on your head. You can't even get up. You are so tired. You have done nothing. You are tired. You can feel that the place is heavy. When you sleep, scorpion, snakes, all kinds of things will appear in your dreams. It is calling for possessive what? Last one. Frequent sickness and unexplainable death. In some family, whilst this one is getting fine, this one continues. It's a cycle of family sickness. From here to this one, and we come back. So every period there's somebody at the hospital. Every demonic infestation. Unexplainable death. People die with that. When you see these things, it tells you that that place has been what? Infested. There's a demon who has an authority over there. And the authority is because man permitted. As we said in the beginning, a geographical place can be controlled. It's a neutral place. Whatever you permit over there, whatever you serve, whatever you submit to what? Control the place. Let's wrap up quickly. How do we possess the place? When I say go and possess, doesn't mean that just go and say no. You put yourself into trouble. Let me show you how to possess the place. Those of you have been praying, die. You wake up, you see bad dreams. You see this and they said die by fire. I said I've died by fire. That fire will kill you.
get up. Hey, you just woke up from a dream. Saw something dangerous. Fire, fire. That fire will burn you. It will burn you if you don't know how to go about it. That's why we have many casualties in the church. First thing is how to deal with this possessive. Number one, you have to have a legal right to the place. Legal right. So is that the place you are? You have the authority to be there, either by whether it's an accommodation or whatever thing. Do you really get it? Or the owner of the place gave you permission? Do you understand? That's why we go for crusade. We go and then we greet the chiefs and all those people. Do you know what we are trying to do? Permission. When we get those permission, there you see fire. That demon there, we can deal with you. So first thing, the place you are sleeping, do you have a legal authority? You can't go and do sleepover and be doing that by fire there. You don't mean to say that one. You now, you are doing sleepover. You woke up with a horrible dream. You want to do that by fire. Are you not killing yourself first? So anything you acquired illegally, possessive prayers cannot go there. Don't pray it some. You are just going to make matters worse. It is not legal. You have taken somebody's husband. And your life has become a struggle. A man who is married, you have snatched him from the wife. Side chick. Ajaboso. And you side chick, you want to get pregnant. You are coming to me, pastor, that your womb is closed. And you are praying die by fire. Oh, my sister, you will die by that fire. Is that man your legal husband? He has not even married you. You are expecting pregnant. Is your parent aware that? Has he gone to see your parent? We are expecting the fruit of the womb. Don't come to me until you have done the legal things. So first of all, you have legal authority over the place. Number two, repent from all the... See, so you have to ask God, what has been done here by the previous owner? The place, you can repent on their behalf. If by one man a sin is introduced, another one man can what? Change it. Are we there? So we repent. You remember what we did, prosecution prayers? What do? I agree with your heart. So we bring everything to light and we repent. So I pray those prayers. All the I know my family very well because by prophetic revelation, I saw things myself. And my father told me some of them. Me, my family, they are bravo. So I don't know the number of people they've killed. All those things are demonic infestation. I have repented on their behalf. Find out. So that you can prosper in your family. Are we on the same page? So you repent. You pray the prayer of repentance. You agree with your adversary. You know the process. Go and listen to prosecution prayers. I've taught those ones. When you do that, the next thing you do is you revoke all rights the previous owners have given to the evil spirit. Third thing, you revoke it. So whatever right the previous owners, being it our forefathers, great, 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 whatever has given you in the family, after repentance, revoke it. So if they gave you right to kill them young men at 40, now you don't have that right again. I take it from you. Possessive prayers, revoke it. By authority, you can do that. If that place, a room, whatever, revoke it. If they give you place to be here, that's what I did. Remember how I did it? I took your receipt and I said that by your consent, they can't stay here anymore. Revoked. How many minutes? 5 minutes, we are done. I'm not sleeping. See, the devil, you see, if you know how to deal with him, it's so simple. Just say it. You don't need to be are you following me? You don't need to be an archbishop to do this thing. It's simple understanding. Simple understanding. You will deal with the devil so simple. Are we there? What is the fourth one? Now, prophesy. Somebody say prophesy. Prophesy. Speak to the land. To that place that you are the rightful owner and you have the right to reclaim it. Do you know earth has an ear? Do you know the heavens and earth, they have ears? Isaiah chapter 1. They have ears. Speak to it. Walls have ears. She. A dying one then. But they say it. They have ears. Speak to it. I am your rightful owner. I have right to reclaim you. Because we are given the right to what? Reconcile all creations unto what? Reconcile all creations. Do you remember what last week what we said? So you cannot be used against me. I reconcile you. I'm speaking to you right. You cannot be used against me. That's why you can still go to Antwa and drink Antwa. If from Antwa, you have the legal right. You can resolve it and drink that water. It will not do anything to you. If they curse you with the tenyashe, you speak to it. When you buy a car,
possess it. You see what I'm doing? This is how you possess things. That car can never have an accident with you. Finally, you raise an altar, very important, over the land to speak. You have to raise an altar over the land to what? You can raise an altar over the land to what? To speak. Are we all there? What? We will come into details about this, but you raise an altar. An altar can be a prayer point. So you can choose a place over there and be praying at a particular time, every day. It will become an altar. You can also sow. Whatever God will lay on you to be an altar, you can do it. Because seed can also be what? Altars. You can do something that is of spiritual significance to become what? An altar that what? Will speak. If you do these things, that geographical area that is demonically infested, you will take over. Now, when you have taken over, you will find out that all your provisions will start coming what? One by one. This is how we unlock hard grounds and be blessed. Any man of God, you have seen him taking hard grounds, hard places. Went through this process. Today, I release you back to your home to go and do two things. Go and possess the destiny, the gates of the destinies that are connected to your life. And number two, go and make claims of provisions for yourself. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? Go and make claims. Be strategic enough to possess things. Don't let anybody rob you of it. Can we close our eyes as I pray for you? Father, I pray for these ones. I release that power and authority you gave Samuel, that because of him, lives were kept. Father, as they go back today, I pray that they will possess the gates of their destinies. Because you created us to be possessive, and that the earth you have given unto us and the fullness thereof. The gold is yours, the silver is yours, and you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Father, let these ones' provisions be released. And if any atmosphere is withholding their provisions, we speak into that atmosphere and we command the atmosphere to be loosed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.